your April Fool's joke, Dan. Is that going to work now?
I'll try it again. Christ is risen. We've walked a long journey through Lent, and now we've arrived at the great festival of Easter. Each gospel has its own account of the nature and meaning of the resurrection. As this lectionary focuses on the Gospel of Mark, we'll listen to Mark's retelling of this event which transformed life for all. The reading begins. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go up and anoint him. Very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who'll roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb. For terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
O Holy One, in the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts, be ever and always acceptable unto you. For you are our rock and our redeemer, our Alpha and our Omega, our beginning and our end, a source of our love and a wellspring of our joys. Amen. So, have you been fooled yet? Did someone get you for April Fools yet? Or are you among one of the few smarter, wiser ones that can't be tricked? Well, you have about 55 minutes yet to go, so good luck with how that goes. My favorite of the Easter pranks that I've seen going around are when you take those delicious chocolate eggs wrapped in foil. You unwrap them and put a grape inside before you do the Easter egg hunt. Now that is a cruel, cruel, cruel Easter prank. It's interesting. It doesn't happen very often when April Fool's Day and Easter Sunday happen on the same day. You know how long ago it was? 62 years ago. It was 1956. James Dean was cool. Elvis was singing Heartbreak Hotel. Rocky Marciano retired that year undefeated. And Charlton Heston lifted the Ten Commandments over his head in the movie. And lifted the Ten Commandments over his head, that's right. The next one I was looking online, the next time that this is going to happen again, 2049. And I'm going to need more than those rails to get me up into the pulpit when it happens again. So what I thought with it happening this year in 2018 is that we might just spend a little bit of time considering the alignment of April Fool's Day and Easter Sunday. Because what I'd like to suggest is that Easter is all about surprise. Easter is all about amazement. Easter is all about making a fool out of the most unlikely victim. Now, in the lectionary, this year is focused upon the Gospel of Mark. As we might know, each year the lectionary encourages our worship to focus on a different gospel version. This year, it's the Gospel of Mark. So we take in Mark's version of the Easter story, Mark 16, verses 1 to 8, the very conclusion of the gospel in Mark's account. And immediately when we go to this, we realize We've been tricked. Something is at play. It's not finished. It's not a proper ending. From a literary perspective, it's not done properly. Just quickly over the story. The women are heading to the tomb. They go to the tomb. They're greeted by this figure, this almost angelic man. They're terrified. They run away. Nothing is said. The end. That is not a complete ending to the story. This is the earliest account, and the scholars call this the first ending, the original ending of the Gospel of Mark. But scribes that would copy this account would later put in a second ending that we would find in our Bibles as well. The second ending the scribes thought needed to be there included these amazing accounts, post-resurrection appearances to Mary, to the 11 disciples. Includes a commissioning to go out into the world and tell the good news. And then at the very end of this second account, an exaltation as Jesus is taken, ascends into the heavens. But this original text, this original ending is unfinished. And this is our first Easter surprise. And the Easter surprise is that it invites you and I. It invites us into the story so that we, like the scribes, can finish it properly. It invites us into the story and we become among the first witnesses, finishing out with our lives the way we believe the story will and should end. The story is quite fascinating, I think, because it kind of mimics the human condition. It kind of is an echo of the way we really live our lives. We expect things to be as they were in the past, to be into the future, don't we? This is the expectation we live in. We expect death to be at the end point of life. And that's what the women were expecting, for death to be at the end. They assumed that even after everything Jesus did, after everything Jesus taught, after the way Jesus lived his life, they expected even for Jesus, for death, to be the end. So the two Marys and Salome, they went their way to the tomb. No expectation of an empty tomb or a resurrection. They expected a dead body, and all they wanted to do was to offer this dead body reverence, love, and respect. You see, Friday's crucifixion went on a long time, and as the sun was setting and as the Sabbath was about to approach, it was a very hurried burial. His burial had not occurred properly, and these women were among the few that dared to go to the tomb to offer Jesus a proper, reverent burial. They had no idea what was ahead. All they wanted to do was to do what was right. And when they arrived at the tomb, first Easter surprise was there to greet them. I wonder, do you expect death to be the natural ending for life in your journey? If you were brave enough, and only three of the entire story were brave enough, remember that. If you were brave enough to go with these women, to go to the tomb, to anoint the body, to bring the spices there, what would you be expecting? Probably would be expecting death. Because that's what we see in life, isn't it? That's what we witness. That seems to be the way it always is. Where the powerful overcome the weak, where the rich seem to overcome the poor, where evil seems to trample upon goodness, seems to be so often the ways of the world that we expect death to be the end point for life. Yet in the story, an Easter surprise upon which they hadn't even begun to imagine occurs. They expect death, yet they find a new reality of life beyond. The first concern about that big stone, how will they roll it aside and get in and offer the burial, that's already been accomplished for them. As soon as they see that empty tomb, they realize that nothing will be the same as it used to be in the past. This was the original Easter surprise. It's as if the first Easter was the beginning of April Fool's Day, wasn't it? In the text, the women arrive, and there is this man, dressed almost a bit angelic. Don't be afraid. They're very afraid. They're terrified when they see an empty tomb. They run away. They tell no one. That is the Easter surprise. Everything that had been taken for granted, everything that they had assumed to be the norm, it was all over the way life had been unfolding. And now, they weren't just alarmed or confused. Fear had seized them. Terror had taken them over. Amazement was their reality. And the story of the first Easter was accomplished in how these women went on to live their lives and lost in the sands of time, how they did that. You and I, we take in this story 2 millennia later. 2,000 years later, and the good news is completed in you and I, in our hearing and in our living and our loving, in our serving. The Easter surprise will continue to be revealed in you and in I. The forces of darkness in Jesus' time, the forces of darkness and oppression that Jesus had threatened in his living and his teaching, they decided that the only way to put Jesus aside and to maintain their threshold was to kill the man. But they found that in killing the man, they would only raise up a movement that would take hatred and squash it with love, a movement that would offer healing to all brokenness, a movement that would birth the kingdom of God's love, hope, peace, and joy. And they find that in the Easter surprise, the way of Christ is risen forever. See, the biggest April Fool, the biggest April Fool are the powers of hatred and darkness and oppression, for they found that in killing the man, they only raised and unleashed a movement that has risen forever in you and in I, the living body of Christ. Have you ever seen Easter surprise in your life and in your faith? How is it that the buds of spring, after a long winter, a long rainy, cold winter, those buds of spring somehow seem to arrive? After dark, cold, dreary days, the light and the warmth and the color yet again returns and offers us hope. The colors of spring reveal an Easter surprise to us yet again. Where do you see God's Easter surprise in your living and in your dying? How does the Easter surprise always seem to show up when death seems to be the end? I arrived at Northwood almost 2 years ago now. And as we were talking about the needs of the congregation, one of the needs identified was that we had quite a number of members in this church that had recently become widows, widowers. Deep losses had been suffered in this congregation. We decided from a pastoral sense we needed to establish a place for folks to just be together. Created a grief group, a monthly gathering where folks can come together, share their stories, share their journey, and as they did that, find amidst death buds of new life. Where do you see God's Easter surprise in your living and in your dying? We were locking up the church earlier this week after our board meeting on Wednesday night, and we saw a gentleman finding shelter here at the church. Stayed behind with him, and we talked for a while. talked about his life and his struggles and what life had been for him. Talked about some of the places and ways that he might find some help in the days ahead. We shared almost a communion. We shared granola bars and crackers and tuna fish and bottled water. When I arrived back in the morning, he was gone. My prayer for him is that his path is leading towards new life and new ways in the days ahead. Where do you see God's Easter surprise in your living and in your dying? I don't know if I've ever told you this, but my first date with Jada, my partner, was on Good Friday. Now, we didn't go to church. I was hoping for a second date. We went out Friday night. We were both single parents. Some deep regrets in our hearts about the way life had unfolded. Sadnesses about endings and death that had occurred. But also there was a yearning and a hope for new life that God will birth, of hope and joy and peace, the Easter surprise that we might find. As I think about preparing for our wedding later this year, I think of what better day than Good Friday could you begin a journey that leads towards the gifts of new life and hope in your future? Where do you see God's Easter surprise in your living and in your dying? Easter is wonderful. It's filled with Easter egg hunts, Easter egg extravaganza with tons of kids here yesterday. It's filled with feasts with family and friends. But even more than that, it is filled with an Easter surprise that is for you and me in our living and in our dying. May we be touched with the new life that is offered for us in places that are dead and that are dying, that is offered for places that are indeed need of nurture and indeed need of growth. May the Easter surprise that embraced the women at the tomb, may it be fulfilled in your living and in your dying. Happy Easter. Amen.